Bom dia, boa tarde. Welcome to another episode of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. I'm your guest host, John Neves, back here again to talk about my favorite subject, your favorite subject, and that is, of course, Portuguese soccer, Portuguese football, whatever word you use in your part of the world. Episode 201. As I always do to start every episode, what were we doing a year ago this week? Well, at this time, we were unfortunately still dealing with the disappointment of being eliminated from the World Cup, but players did return to their club teams, and it was a year ago at this time that the Portuguese league started the quarterfinals of the Taça da Liga. If you remember, during the World Cup, the Taça da Liga competition, the League Cup, was going on while the World Cup was going on. And by the time Portugal had finished and the players came back, for those that play in Portugal, we, of course, had the quarterfinals that were going on. That was the first big competition to take place for us after the World Cup. And last year, we saw Sporting beat up on Braga 5-0. Last year at this time, we saw Académico do Viseu, which was the surprise team, making it to the Final Four last year with Jorge Costa as manager, beating Boavista 2-1. We saw Porto beat Gil Vicente 2-0. And we saw Roca upset at the time Moreirense, which was a power in the second division. And Roca also advanced to the League Cup, thus the Liga Final Four. And it was also at this time last year, after the World Cup, that we started to hear rumblings of Enzo wanting to go play for Chelsea. He was basically, if I remember correctly, didn't play a match. And that was going on last year between Enzo and Enzo, team Enzo and Benfica. And that what was going on a year ago from today. Welcome back, everybody, to episode 201. A lot to talk about in this episode. First off, reviewing week 13, we saw Sporting lose. We saw Benfica draw for the third time in five Liga matches. We saw the second division, Santa Clara, leading the way. And by the way, we just found out this week that there's a club in the second division that's going to start playing 200 kilometers from their home city. I'll tell you all about that. European review, I think it was a mixed bag this week of good news and bad news. Women's football, Benfica won their Champions League match. They're second place in the group. That's great for women's football in Portugal. And then, of course, we'll wrap it up talking about my favorite club in Portugal in the fifth tier of the districts, Atlético dos Arcos. First place, they are back in action this week. And then, of course, we'll also have your mailbag. But let me start off first reviewing what went on this past week in Europe. So the good news is we have four teams still left in Europe. The same four teams that were competing in the groups. Porto remains in the Champions League after beating Shakhtar Donetsk 5-3 at home in the Dragon. Porto earning some really good amount of money, but they are the only Portuguese team left in Champions League. We now have three clubs that are all going to be competing in the Europa League playoff. Of course, Sporting won a match that didn't really mean anything because Sporting had already clinched second place after they beat Sturm Graz 3-0. Sporting is going to be going into the Europa draw, as is Benfica, which needed a goal. An unbelievable Arthur Cabral, who earlier this week was the subject of some controversy because of something that happened while he was driving outside of Luge. He scores the winning goal. 92nd minute, boy, 92nd minute has to be the most favorite time of the minute for Schmidt. Arthur Cabral scores in the 92nd minute. We know João Neves at the Derby a few weeks ago scored in the 92nd minute to draw. Those results have saved Roger Schmidt. But we saw basically Arthur Cabral save Benfica. Benfica's investment in him somewhat paid off by this incredible dramatic goal that made it 3-1 and enabled Benfica to beat Salzburg by two goals. And with that, Benfica stays alive in Europe. So Benfica is still alive. And then, of course, we saw Braga. They had a chance to stay alive. They had a chance to basically go to the Champions League. All they needed to do was to win by two goals in Napoli. And unfortunately, that did not happen. They, of course, went to Napoli and they lost. But Real Madrid did beat Union Berlin, and that enables Braga to stay alive in the Europa. Now, let me say that the bad news is that playing in the Champions League is worth more money. And when you're playing in the Europa League, you are making significantly less money. But if you know Portuguese history like I do, you know that the Portuguese clubs gain a lot of their points many times by playing in the Europa League. And the fact that we have three clubs still alive in Europa really bodes well, because if any of these clubs can go at least as far as the quarters and the semis, that would really go a long way to trying to help our UEFA coefficient, which, as you know, is in seventh place in Europe right now. But we lost to France to fifth, we lost to Holland to sixth, and now we're stuck in seventh place. And next year we're losing a Champions League spot because of being in seventh place. But if there is a chance to make good, is the fact that we are playing in the Europa, which is a much easier competition than the Champions League. Because remember, the points are all the same. Champions League, Europa Conference League, Europa, it doesn't matter. Nothing is different. All the points you earn are the same. And as a result, we have three Portuguese clubs in it. Now, the bad thing is that while Porto goes automatically to the round of 16, Benfica, Braga, and Sporting will have to play an extra playoff round of two matches in February. The draw will be taking place this Monday in Switzerland, in Nyon. The Champions League draw will be at 11 a.m. Portugal time, and the Europa draw will be at 12 p.m. Portugal time. So in my case, that means I've got to get up at 6 in the morning for the Champions League draw and then stick around for 7 a.m. While having my coffee to watch the Europa draw to see where our four Portuguese teams are going to be going. And let's talk about the money. Porto, first off, as you know, they really needed to qualify. They needed that money. They have so far made in Europe based on qualifying for the groups, which they automatically did, and then based on the, every win they got, and then take into account the bonus that they get for advancing to the next round. They have basically earned so far a total of 50.1 million euros, according to Mais Futebol. Benfica, basically, they're the ones that are really in a bit of trouble. They've earned 43.6 million, which, by the way, is not bad money. But I think last year they made close to 80. This year, looks like they may only make half of that. And even if they make a run in the Europa League and go far, there's probably only going to be maybe another 5 to 10 million more they're going to make. So for Benfica, they want to do it for the coefficient. They want to do it to stay alive, because after all, they consider themselves to be a big club. But right now, they've only made 43.6 million. And remember, last year, they made close to 80 or something. They set their own club record. And then Braga, and by the way, Braga, which, as you know, in the last 10 years has gone from being a very small club to a very modest club. They have made already 32.3 million in Europe, which, by the way, for Braga is fantastic money. And remember, they've got some young talent that they're going to probably sell soon. So Braga, not only are they building their own big time, their own football city, they are doing pretty well. So this is some really very good news. So the bad news is we only have one team left in the most popular league in the world, the Champions League. The good news, though, is we still have four teams left in Europe, and three of those clubs have opportunity to do well. Now, the question is once we get to March, and remember, with only one team automatically qualifying for the Champions League next year and the second-place team having to go to the playoff, it means we have one less spot. When we do get to March and April, and any of these clubs, you know, Braga, Sporting, and Benfica, if they're battling to make a run in the Europa League, are they going to play their best lineup, or are they going to save their best lineup for the weekend? Because everybody obviously wants to try to finish at first place and not have to go through a playoff and make all that money. So that's a concern for later, but that is certainly something that is worth thinking about later on. But nevertheless, a mixed week. But the bottom good thing is the fact that we've got four teams left in Europe, and I think we have a lot to be happy with that. Reviewing the Liga, of course, the big story last week, we saw basically Guimarães, I've always said, is the fourth biggest club in Portugal in size, but mostly they're the fifth biggest club on the pitch. And basically last week, they finally beat one of the big three at home. They basically beat Sporting 3-2. And as a result, check this out. You've got Sporting, 31 points. You got Porto, 31 points. And they're only separated by goal differential by one. Sporting has a plus 13. Porto has a plus 12. And they're playing each other on Monday. Then you got Benfica in third with 30. And you got Braga in fourth with 29 points. So the top four of our most successful clubs are separated by 2 points. That is so, so exciting. And then Guimarães, not too far behind in fifth place with 25 points. But it was just such a big result. We saw Benfica again at home, 1-1 with Feyenoord from the Algarve. We saw Braga record a 3-1 win at Vizela Benfica. Continues to be saved in the 92nd minute. We'll see what happens. But this weekend, it is just so exciting. First off, everything gets going on Friday. Feyenoord will be taking on Estrela Amadora. I believe those are a pair of teams that were promoted last season. You've got three matches on Sunday. The most interesting one is Boavista, who's looking for a new manager after Petit and them parted ways. Boavista, after starting the season with four wins and a draw, have managed to lose their last five in Liga. And I said this back in September. It is hard for clubs that spend a lot of time at the bottom year to year to all of a sudden expect the next year to stay and compete for the top, even though they started so well, beating Benfica at home. But Boavista taking on Guimarães, that is your 2030 match on Saturday night. But the real two big matches that everyone's going to be paying attention to, the first one is on Sunday night, Braga at home to Benfica. And then on Monday, you've got Sporting against Porto. And it's very simple. Whoever wins Sporting or Porto, basically, not only do they keep possession of first place, but they'll have that at least advantage head-to-head with the team they beat. So whoever wins Sporting and Porto, that's going to be very big. And Benfica, which I got to tell you, has been really slowing down lately. They've survived with late goals in stoppage time. Braga, who's actually been playing a little bit better, I think, during this stretch, they have an opportunity to, at the very least with the win, leapfrog Benfica into third place. But again, just so terribly exciting that we are really looking at basically the top four are only separated by 2 points. And I just think that that's a very, very big deal. And when you look at the standings, at the very bottom, we have Vizela and Arouca. Arouca, by the way, beat Boavista 3-1. That was only their second win of the season. That's a very big win with for them and their new manager, Daniel Souza. And Xav sits in the playoff spot of 16th place with 10 points, but on goal difference and head-to-head, barely hanging on in 16th place. But this weekend, it you know, to kind of preview Braga and basically Benfica, first off, let me take a look here. My internet's a little bit slow. Let's look at the injury report for this weekend. So we know Alexander Ba is not available, injured. David Nidish had surgery. He's not available. And then, of course, when you go over to Braga, they have only one player that's not available, but it's a big one, a big one. Alvaro Dijola, Braga really missed him against Napoli. He is not available. When you look at Porto and Sporting, Porto doesn't really have anyone that's, quote, not available. All the players that are currently not available have been unavailable for some time. And that's Gabriel Veron and Ivan Marcano. Obviously, Marcano underwent surgery, but he is, what an amazing start to the season he had. And then the backup goalkeeper, Samuel Portugal, is also injured. And then when you look at Sporting, of course, the guy who unfortunately always seems to be on the injury list, Jeremiah Saint-Just, he has a bad sprain. He is out. We know Ivan Fresneda is basically had surgery. He's supposed to be out for about 3 months with the fracture. And then the big one, I guess the fresh injury news, is Geni Kadamo. He also has a muscular injury, and he's not available either. And look, the managers, they're going to talk about respecting the other team. They are going to talk about how, you know, and then when you really think about it, these matches are not going to decide first, second, or third place, other than deciding it for match day 14. You're going to hear managers say that. But it is a very important match because, first off, if you're Benfica, fans are not very happy. We saw what happened last week when they basically drew at home with Feyenoord. We saw the fans basically whistling. We saw Roger Schmidt with the comment that, you know, if you're not going to come to the stadium, be productive, don't come at all. If you only want good moments, then wait until we win to go to the March de Pombal. You saw all this stuff of a manager that for the first time since he's been at Benfica is finally starting to see the heat, but he's fighting back on it. He is not letting go. Then you look at Arthur Jorge of Braga, a manager that, you know, they had a few bad results, a few draws early in the season, but here they are, only 2 points away from first place. Everybody is clicking on all cylinders. They got all their best players, Ricardo Horta, Bruma available, except for, obviously, Alvaro DiGiolo. And they're playing at home. We know last year, remember, 2 weeks after the World Cup break, and football resumed in Portugal in terms of the Liga, we saw Braga beat Benfica at home. So Benfica does not have a lot of great memories of going up to the Pedreira and having good results. So there's a lot of stuff working in Braga's favor here, and there's a lot of stuff working against Benfica. But it's hard to believe that Benfica has this much pressure, and meanwhile, they only really are 1 point, hard to believe, out of first place. Now, Sporting in Porto, this is obviously a fantastic match, and the reason why it's on a Monday night is because Sporting had the Europa League match on a Thursday. And this is a match for a lot of things. First off, number one, Ruben Amorim says he will not talk about the referees, the match officiating. I was surprised at the lineup that he fielded against Sturm Graz. We saw, of course, the Swedish superstar start. We saw Paulinho up front with Francisco Tricon. I was surprised, basically, with the players that he played, although he did have the backup goalkeeper in there, and there's a question right now with Antonio Adan about his future, which I think is very legitimate. But he fielded a very strong lineup. But I think the biggest question with Sporting is, you know, can they do at home and beat Porto at home? Because Porto's had a little bit of success in Alvalade. I think Amorim, if I remember correctly, hasn't won. I think the last head-to-head matches in the last year and a half that he's had with like the big three, he's lost most of them or drawn. He's not had a lot of good results. Conceição has put together some really, really decent results. Matter of fact, let me do this. Let me give you the last five of Braga. First of all, let me go to Braga Benfica. So the last five matches between Braga and Benfica, Benfica beat Braga last year in the Luge toward the end of the season 1-0. But Braga defeated Benfica in the Taça de Portugal, eliminated them last year on penalty kicks 5-4. Braga beat Benfica, handed Benfica the first Liga loss last year. Remember, this was December the 30th, right before New Year's Eve last year. Beat them, Braga beat them 3-0. Braga then beat Benfica the season before 3-2, and then Benfica beat up on Braga 6-1. So basically, in your last five matches, Braga has won three of the five, and that's what I think makes for a very interesting storyline this weekend in between these matches. Then when you look at the matches between Sporting and Porto, the last five matches, the last time they played each other, Porto went to the Sporting and beat them 2-1. That was a very big match. We saw Porto then beat them in the League Cup 2-0. Then we saw Porto beat Sporting 3-0 in the Liga back in the start of the 22-23 season last year. Then we saw Porto beat Sporting 1-0 in the Taça de Portugal in terms of the two legs that they played last year. And then Porto beat them again 2-1 in the first leg. So basically, Porto has beaten Sporting five times in a row and eliminated them as well. Or from two different cup competitions, the League Cup last year, as well as the Taça de Portugal. So, on paper, Braga looks to be the favorite against Benfica, I would say. Of course, we'll know what happens when they play. And I would say that history is showing that Porto is coming into this match as the better team based on past history. Now, Frederico Varandas, the Sporting president, has said that right now his club is the best in Portugal. But that's really, really going to be tested on Monday night in Alvalade. And I think that's what's going to make a lot of difference in terms of seeing what's going to happen. So it is going to be just two exciting matches this weekend. And I'll be honest with you, I'm pretty excited about it. While I have you here, I'm pretty sure the Braga-Benfica match, let me see, yes, I can confirm that the Braga-Benfica match will be the RTP international match for those abroad internationally. And again, if you do not get the Liga in your country, check it out to see if you're able to watch RTP.pt and see if they'll be broadcasting the game in your country. They may or may not, but if it is available, and remember, this is RTP's website. This isn't just any website. For those that, depending on your country and the rights, that could be an opportunity for you to watch this game. And by the way, there's no surprise that Braga Benfica RTP International does not show Clásicos unless it's a Taça do Portugal match or the League Cup. I don't ever remember seeing, that I could remember, RTP International ever show a Porto Sporting Benfica, Benfica Porto. And by the way, I had a few of you email me because I said last week the Clásico is Sporting in Porto. A lot of people feel that the Clásico is only Benfica Porto. I don't know. A lot of people see it both ways, but feel free to let me know in the mailbag next week what you think. Is only in Portugal Benfica Porto the true Clásico? So that's your basically your preview for this weekend. And by the way, very interesting schedule next week. First off, because of the holidays that are coming up, next weekend we will have only a few matches in the Liga B, in the Liga Betclic. Next Saturday we only have, so we're talking December the 23rd, Vizela playing Moreirense, Guimarães playing Rio Ave, and then of course Thanksgiving, and then the next matches won't be played until the 28th, 29th, and 30th. So remember, now you're probably saying, well then who's going to be playing next week? Well, next week will be the completion of the League Cup, and you guys think you're going to have matches Thursday, Friday, and Saturday next week. Next Thursday, you will have Benfica at home to AVS. All you need for Benfica is a draw, and you are through to the Final Four again. The other match we have is Nacional in Braga, and that's on Friday, next Friday. Braga needs to beat Nacional, and then they need to win, I think, by two or three goals. And if they do that, they will basically be ahead. Right now, Casapia has played their two matches. They have 4 points. They have scored three and conceded two. Braga, 1 point, one goal scored, one conceded. They would just be looking to have a better, if I understand correctly, they just need a better goal difference, which means they need to win in Madeira against Nacional, and they need to try to win, from all accounts, by at least two goals to advance. And then on Saturday, you have Tundela against Sporting. Again, Sporting only needs a draw against Tundela. But if Tundela wins, that'll create a calculator situation. But Sporting pretty much in control. They should record the win. They want to go back to the Final Four. They want a chance at another trophy. And that's Tundela Sporting. And then the last match is really a match that means nothing now because Porto lost to Estoril. Estoril has already qualified out of Group D. So Porto Leixões will finish up the schedule for Group D. Porto, by the way, just to give you an example of how many fans are trying to get out there, if you are a sócio next week and you want to see this Porto Leixões match, it will cost you only €3 if you're a sócio. General public tickets will be 5 to 10 euros. If you are in the Porto region and you want to watch a game in the Dragon, next Saturday, December the 23rd, the following Saturday, excuse me, for when I drop this episode, that is a great opportunity to go watch this match in the Dragon. There's a nice mall across the street in case you want to check it out. So that's pretty much your Liga and your League Cup review. Second division report. Last week, the big story, we saw Santa Clara beat Tundela 3-2. We saw Leiria beat Torrent 1-0. We saw Benfica B beat Nacional 2-1. And we saw Marítimo with their new manager that they just got from Olivenense beating Lenk Vilaverdense 4-0. So right now in the second division, you have Santa Clara with 29 points, AVS with 28, and third place Nacional with 26, and Marítimo in fourth place with 22 points. And in fifth place, eligible to win the title, but not eligible for promotion, of course. And that is, of course, FC Porto B in fifth place with 21 points. This weekend, all the action is taking place on Saturday or Sunday. Initially, I had seen that the Académico Vizel Turriens match was on a Friday, but now I'm seeing that it's moved to a Saturday morning. But we got four matches on Saturday. Nacional, basically one of the top teams in second place, they will be at home against Belenenses. And AVS, the second-place team, will be at home against Passos de Ferreira. Then you have actually five matches on Sunday. The most interesting one for me, based on the standings, the table, Santa Clara in first place taking on FC Porto B. That match is in the Açores. And Benfica B is playing Tundela. So those are your reports. And two other notes to mention, by the way. I'm going to be kind of merging this with my Liga report. First off, Torrent which sits in sixth place, having a decent season. They basically, and their manager, I couldn't believe this when I read it. A lot of people were very surprised at this, but Rui Ferreira is no longer the manager of Turians, and he's been replaced by Tulipa, who just like a week and a half ago was let go as manager of Marítimo because of bad results. So Tulipa is now the new manager of Turians, and Turians' goal is very simple. They want promotion. They want to be playing in the first division next year. And this is a move, much like what Marítimo did, replacing their manager and replacing Tulipa, once they started to suffer one or two losses and they were no longer in the top four, making that move to shock the players, to shock the squad, and they managed to do that here. So Turians with a very big surprise last week. I was very taken back by this. We don't really know the reason, at least when I'm dropping this episode, but Rui Ferreira is no longer the manager of Turians. Sixth place Turians hires Tulipa, who was recently the manager of Marítimo before he was let go there. And by the way, a lot of people say, why do they do that in Portugal? Why do they recycle managers? Well, you got to understand, you don't have budgets like in Spain, Germany, England. You don't. I mean, a club like Wrexham in England has a much bigger budget than a lot of these second division clubs by far. And these managers in Portugal know how to work with that budget. They understand Portuguese football. You bring in sometimes a foreign manager that knows he's not going to be able to do a lot of stuff in the transfer market, they don't tend to succeed. You have to understand Portuguese football, and you have to know Portuguese talent to basically, especially at the lower levels, to bring these kids up to play for you in the second division and look for success and then eventually sell these players. The other big news with the second division, Vila Verdense, of course, they are struggling toward near the bottom. They have played in five different stadiums this year, because of the fact that their main stadium in Vila Verde is not up to conditions to compete in professional football, the second division. They are going to now be playing, as I record this, the rest of their remaining matches this season in a bigger stadium in Coimbra, the big stadium, one of the ones that was used for the Euro in 2004. And that stadium, by the way, is 200 kilometers away from Vila Verde. That is life. Remember I told you, And I've said this, and it's all there. This is what's great about podcasts, that the only concern I had about Vila Verde coming up north from the Minho is those clubs are good, but they're not big. They're not very big with resources. And the stadiums are, for the most part, very old. They need a lot of work, and a lot of times clubs can't afford it. Maybe in a few years they will. Maybe if they sell a player for a lot of money, they can do the construction, the obras to do this. But a very, very big decision here. Vila Verdense is going to be playing in their fifth stadium this season. And it looks like they're going to be playing a lot of their matches in Coimbra at the former Académica Stadium. So that is pretty interesting news right there. Women's football, congratulations to Benfica women winning their Champions League match this week. They're in second place in their group. Women's football will be, after playing the Taça de Portugal this week, is back to action. Benfica in first place with 21 points, Sporting in second with 19, Marítimo and Braga tied for third with 16 points. Sporting this weekend will be hosting, in a battle of second versus third place teams, will be hosting Marítimo. Benfica will be going up north to talk about to play the women's team up in Vila Verde to take on Vila Verdense. And Braga will be playing at home this weekend against Atlético Oriente. And that is your women's football schedule for this weekend. Let's talk about player abroad. And I want to start off talking about the special one, the greatest Portuguese manager ever. And that is, of course, the special one, José Mourinho. First off, Roma finished in second place in their group. So they're going to be playing a third place team from the Champions League, and Mourinho had some very interesting comments talking about how, you know, he's going to be playing a third place team coming from the Champions League, and that for them that might be an advantage because that third place team is going to be disappointed that they're playing in the Europa, and he thinks that that could be an advantage for his club, and he's right. Anybody who finishes third place in the Champions League group and has to go to a Europa, they're glad to be playing in Europe, but they're not glad to have dropped to the Europa League. So he feels that could be an advantage for his team. He even talked about Benfica, saying that Benfica's team is not built for Europa. Benfica's team is built to be competing in the Champions League. And so that was a compliment to Benfica, but it was also kind of a remark to say Benfica is an example of a team that when they drop down to Europa is a pretty big disappointment. A club like Braga, they're disappointed too, but I think everybody when they saw the Champions League draw figured that this would be the best situation for Braga, and I think Braga has an opportunity to do something. And by the way, the draws again will be this Monday for the Champions League and Europa. Zepa Zaidu, you've probably remembered him. He's managed a lot of clubs in Portugal. Of course, Braga. He's managed the Sporting. He's managed the Porto. He's been abroad. He's managed in Saudi Arabia. He's managed Venezuela. And now he's managing Nigeria. And he basically did an interview this week, and he said that his dream, or what's left for him, is to at some point manage Benfica, which, quite frankly, because of his track record, I really don't see that as long as Rui Costa is there. But Zepa Zaidu gave this interview, and he said that he hopes one day to manage basically Benfica. João Félix, he has this plaque outside of the stadium, Atlético Stadium, and apparently it was defaced again. And I think that's like the third or fourth time that it's happened. That continues to make news. Of course, a lot of Atlético fans are not happy with João Félix. And that was back in the news again. Carlos Carvalhal, if I didn't tell you last week, he is now the new manager of Olympiacos. And that is some big news as Carlos Carvalhal continues to manage in the big leagues. I'm going to go quickly here for the last part. First off, talking about the big four. Not really a lot to say. I think I've already said a lot of it. Again, if you're Roger Schmidt, your favorite numbers are 9 and 2. What a week for Benfica, and Roger Schmidt continues to be saved. But question is, he needs a very good win in regulation time. Porto, again, I told you, after it was interesting. After they were eliminated in the League Cup by Estoril, they basically had a session in the Olival where they stayed there from like early morning until late night, did double sessions. And the team really, really got a absolute verbal lashing from Sergio Conceição, and it looks like it worked because they were able to beat Shakhtar 5-3, although it's never good to give up 3 goals at home. And of course, we talked about Sporting and Ruben Amorim, that he is not looking to talk ever about the referees. He does not want to talk about the referees. He wants to stick to it and just keep talking about positive things. And again, it's such a massive match on Monday. Last part of this podcast, and as I always do, I ended talking about my favorite club in Portugal, and of course, as Atlético dos Arcos, as well as your mailbag. Let me start off talking about Atlético dos Arcos. They did not play last week. Last week, some of the best players on the team went to represent the district of Viana do Castelo in a thing called the UEFA Regents Cup, and as a result, there was no football. But this week, everything is back. Big match this weekend. Bit of a derby match between Atlético dos Arcos and Ponta Barca. Atlético dos Arcos, my club, is in first place with 31 points. Monsong in second with 26. Cardinal Lens also in second with 26. And then Ponta Barca, 6 points behind us with 25 points. Big match this weekend, because if we could beat Ponta Barca and we're playing at their place, it would basically enable us to build a 9-point cushion against them. And, of course, this is also important because Monsong is playing one of the worst teams at the bottom. So in order for us to keep our 5-point advantage, we, of course, need to also win. And Cardinal Lens, the other second-place team in the group, they're playing one of the teams that surprised a lot of the better teams of this group, Vitorino de Piões. They've had very good results against the teams at the top of the table, and they'll be playing Cardinal Lens. So hopefully Vitorino de Piões' luck against the top of the table continues. But I'm happy. 5-point lead after 13 match days, after 12 match days, and a big match this weekend across the river there in Ponta Barca. And it should be another good one. Atlético dos Arcos, by the way, plus 22 goal differential. The next best team, the second place team, Monsong, only has a plus 12 goal differential. So the offense with regards to my club, Atlético dos Arcos, has been flying. Mailbag time, and I'm going to start off with a comment, what a question actually, from Glenn Gomes from Australia. Hello, Glenn. And he basically asked, what is your opinion on that Brazilian commentator that says Portugal's big teams would struggle in Brazil? My opinion is that our top four can win it, but wouldn't dominate in the mix with the Brazilian teams. If roles are reversed, their big teams could win in Portugal. However, when the Brazilian teams go cold, they really struggle, e.g. Santos' relegation this season and Botafogo losing a huge lead in first place. Portuguese teams don't really like have this, like Porto this season, Sporting last season, and Benfica late 90s. So for a lot of people that wonder, there was a commentator, and look, they love their soccer football in Brazil. There's a lot of commentators. There's a lot of pundits that cover the Brazilian league, of course. And one of them came out and said that if Benfica, Porto, Sporting, and we include Braga in this, were to play in Brazil, they would not have the success like they have in Portugal. And here's what it is psychologically, okay? Because we play in Europe, which is an incredibly obviously UEFA is the toughest confederation in the world. There's no doubt about it. And because we're not playing in the final four of every competition, one might assume, whereas a lot of Brazilian clubs do make it to the final four, or at least one of them make it to their regional competition, the Copa Libertadores, there are those that might take it easy on Portugal and assume that we're not that strong because we're not playing in the top levels of Europe. So I think that when people look at it that way, they were going to say what they say and think that Portuguese clubs won't compete, but they would compete. But it depends. The Sporting team that won, was it 2-3 years ago, would do very well. But the Sporting team of last season, remember, you know, they sold Mateus Nunes, they joined Paulinho in the summer, and we know the results last year. That Sporting would really struggle in Brazil and probably only finish 7th or 8th, in my opinion. Last year's Benfica team would probably win Brazil if they managed to keep up that success. Because just remember, Brazil last year played very well. They went head-to-head with PSG, and they did very, very well. Porto, with Sergio Conceição, has a knack of stepping up to the big matches. And I think a club like Porto, which is very well-respected in Brazil, would do very well as well. Now, would a Portuguese team, meaning if we put our... And by the way, I think Braga would have probably the tougher time. They would compete. I just don't know. I mean, look at Braga right now. They're having a hard time getting into the top three. I think in Brazil, they might have a hard time getting into the top 7 or 8, or at least top 5 or 6. Now, yes, Santos got relegated. They had a bad season. Clubs have bad seasons. Not everybody is strong every year. Yes. But I just think that in order to be successful in Brazil, just like in Portugal, you need to have a very good year. When you're having an off year, I think so. Like the Benfica team of this year, even though they're 1 point behind in Portugal, they're kind of showing signs when they play tougher competition that they would really struggle. So if a Portuguese team is doing very well, they're going to do very well in Brazil. If a Portuguese team is struggling, they would probably struggle as well in Brazil. But look, when Jorge Jesus, JJ, went to Brazil, I remember a pundit saying, he's coming to Brazil. This isn't Benfica. This isn't the Portuguese league. This is Brazil. Well, look at what JJ did. He won them a Libertadores Cups. He won a few cups with them. He's an absolute legend with Flamengo. And the truth is there are some pundits that you just can't take seriously. And there's some people that do it for ratings. To go on TV and insult the Portuguese, especially after Abel Ferreira won with Palmeiras, a Portuguese manager, and the success he's having, I just think sometimes it's good for ratings. It's good for conversation. And look, we're talking about it right now. You know, of course, nobody in Brazil is going to hear this, although I do have some followers in Brazil. But I just think that's what happens in that situation where it just, you would have to be very, if you're having a very good year, you'll do well in Brazil. Now, if some of those Brazilian clubs came to Portugal, yes. I could see a Palmeiras, I could see a Flamengo when they're really good competing for the top four. I really do. I think Braga would probably be the team that would be left out, in my opinion. Neil for Toronto, does Argentina show the League of Portugal the way Portugal shows the Saudi League? Otamendi, Di Maria, and many others are playing in Portugal from Argentina. I understand from an Argentine friend of mine that yes, I wasn't able to get the station, but they do show the football in Portugal. It's not as shown as much as, let's say, Spain, which is very popular there, or the Premier League. But it's not a league that you'd have a hard time finding in Argentina as well. Always a great comment every week, and that is, of course, Bag Full of Tofi. Just listened, and 200, that's some great work. Watched Benfica earlier. It's getting tight for Schmidt. He only has so long before his work on a club runs out, starting to look as if it's happening earlier this time around. Looked a tired team last season. They are missing Ramos big time. Cabral, one big mistake, and Musa and Tengstad are not the answer either. He really needs to get a third spot midweek. On the Rolheiser rumor, that's one of the players that's been linked to replace Rafa Benfica. He is a good player and has been excellent for Estudiantes de La Plata in Argentina. If you get a chance, catch him in the cup final for Estudiantes on Wednesday. Seen today that Ferreira is having second thoughts about leaving the green machine of Palmeiras. Looked like he was definitely off to Saudi to do battle with JJ and the wonderful Marcelo Gallardo. But maybe he now fancies another shot at Libertadores and one more title. Let's wait and see. Anyway, great work. I look forward to listening to the next 100. Tofi, thank you so much. I really respect your opinion. Thank you. Before I continue, before I forget, let me also say, because someone reminded me of this, was actually Glenn, the first one I talked about here. If you ever want to email questions, if you ever want to make comments about anything that you want me to read, very simple, to the Gmail address, psoccercom, the letter P, soccercom at gmail.com. I've met people that refuse to deal with me if they have to use the word soccer. Relax, people. But, or just send a DM on Twitter or send a DM on Instagram or on Facebook. But my recommendation, and I don't say it enough, if you want, the best place to reach out and comment or ask questions is psoccercom at gmail.com. PortugueseSoccer.com is, of course, our website address. And before I start with the last two comments, if you're listening to this for the first time, thanks for listening this long, whether it's for 10 minutes or 40 minutes. Please give it a follow, PortugueseSoccer.com, PSoccerCom on Twitter, Portuguese_soccer_noticias on Instagram. And of course, you can listen to this podcast. Give it a review and a follow on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcast, Podcast Addict. And of course, and it's been doing pretty well, I of course put up the audio as well on YouTube. So thank you for those that listened to it. Last two comments that I'm going to read here is from Jason Carrera, basically about Porto, basically advancing in the Champions League. From Porto to everyone else, you're welcome. But these shoulders are getting ready, hoping for Real Sociedad in the draw. Rui Sebrandon, things look good for Braga, Benfica and Sporting, not so much for Porto. But when you are that good, you have to play the best. So that is, of course, Rui is a Porto fan. Anyway, folks, I'm going to wrap up episode 201 of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. As always, folks, take care of yourselves, take care of your family. And I'll talk to you next week. Ciao, everybody.